Well, here we are, the last night. I had to reflect just a little bit back to Tuesday night. You know, I was sitting up here and my heart was beating quite fast because I knew I was going to have to get up to speak to a whole bunch of strangers that I didn't know. I'm not feeling that way tonight. I look into your faces and I'm seeing friends. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your friendship. And I just want to specifically say thank you for your hospitality. It's been a pleasure being here with you this week. You have made my wife and I feel very at home. You've been very friendly, and I would say that you're a very friendly congregation. Thank you to the young ones that were a friend of my daughter. She said, oh yes, the girls are very friendly there, and so Andrea was glad about that. So to you moms, thank you for training your daughters that way. It takes a lot of work because children aren't naturally friendly. And I want to thank you for that. I want to bless you children for coming night after night this week. Because it's hard to sit in church and it's a long time to sit. And y'all really did good. Thank you, youth. You've been coming up here, sitting on these benches. And thank you for coming to church. I know church gets long and it just gets tiresome, but again, just a blessing to you as parents for coming night after night because your attendance has been very good. The church, you're always here, and so thank you for that. And may God bless you for that show of spirituality in your life. It's easy to stay home. And it'd be easy to stay home tonight because you had a long, I'm sure your afternoon was short. You're tired of going to church. It's nice and sunny out. It's probably one of the nicest days so far this week. And you could have really went on a picnic this afternoon and you probably could have found other things to do than to come to church. But you're here. And I just simply say God bless you for that. Thank you for the beautiful gift you've given to us. The motto with your signatures on it. I will take it down and look at your signatures time after time because that's meaningful to me. So thank you for signing it, and there will be memories of you here at Cornerstone. What are you thankful for? I don't know if you're tired of that question yet or not, but I want us to be a thankful people. We need to look for things to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Is there anyone that would like to publicly state what you're thankful for tonight?
I'm thankful that we have when God created the universe to give you the day of rest for us. We're always so busy through the week, it's just a blessing to have a day of rest.
Okay. And we can get together. Thankful for a day of rest. Do we have two? Edwin.
For God's word.
Now, that's one I don't know we talk about very much, but we have God's word. So thankful for that. Philip.
I'm thankful for time. Recently in the classroom, we were trying to define time. It's rather difficult. And I'm specifically thankful for time because during that time, I feel made me great to God. And I feel like He's giving me second chances. And I'm thankful for that.
Okay. Thankful for time. Thankful for second chances.
I'm thankful for this spiritual meeting. It's been very blessed. I also want to say a special thanks for my family. To have my family this afternoon, I'm going to make some of you spend about an hour just a story up here in downtown chasing Savannah to get out. Two of the briars, the neighbors showed up, friends showed up, the Amish and all these horses came home from church tonight. Successfully got her.
Thankful for friends and family. Nelson.
I was out Friday morning and I walked in my truck and it was just such a beautiful morning and so quiet. It was early, nobody else was around. And I looked up to the sky and I just thanked God. Because all over the world,
Just thankful for peace and quietness, for another morning, beautiful mornings, the land of freedom. Oh. Absolutely, praise Him for that. God of grace. Okay. Another hand back there. Okay. Thankful. All right. God cares about the little things in our life. Praise the Lord for that. Nothing's too small for Him. Go ahead. Absolutely. For sunshine. There's something about just new life. Buds coming out and grass getting green and flowers. Just signs of spring. It just cheers our hearts. God is so good. Wonderful. Thankful for a church family. God bless you, brother Tim.
Thank the Lord for associating church groups and our ministry brothers to reach out to other congregations and find, there is a valid old club that we don't know.
Absolutely. Thankful we can serve a risen Savior. I know we could keep on going, but let's keep thinking about things to be thankful for. And this week, don't stop just being thankful because we're done with revivals. No. Go throughout this week and the months being thankful people and being thankful to God and allowing His praise to flow out of our mouths and that people looking on would know we're thankful. I'd like to sing our theme song, and maybe we can sing it by memory. I'm not saying you have to. If you need the words, use the words. But if you know it by heart, let's stand, and let's sing the song together.
Yeah.
For a sermon tonight, I feel that I have a very simple, short sermon. I don't think I'll keep you long. But my sermon title is Prepared to Meet God. The whole point of these meetings is for what point? So you can have a better work week? No, it's so we're prepared to meet God. And I don't know that we like that thought very much. That verse, that thought comes from Amos 4:12. It says, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." And I just want to take that phrase, "prepared to meet God." I just want to think about that tonight. Because as a young person, I feel like that I have an entire life to live. I feel like I have my whole future ahead of me. But we don't know. There's an older gentleman in our church. I mentioned him this morning. And he said, "Vernon, do you have your funeral planned?" No. I don't like thinking about my funeral. And he said, "Well, you need to." He said, "You got one of those papers? You know, you can plan your own funeral." And the next Sunday, he had a paper in my mailbox on a form to fill out to plan my own funeral. Now, that's preparation. And one of my weaknesses is I'm not a very good organizer, and I'm not a very good person to get prepared. I work kind of, on the spur of the moment. I make it happen as it needs to. I've thought about that. Am I going to take time to plan my own funeral? But you know what? I do need to plan my funeral. I need to make preparations to meet God because I do not know what life holds. I do not know. "Only put off for tomorrow what you are willing to die having undone," was a quote that I found. "Only put off for tomorrow what you are willing to die having undone." There are some things in life that are extremely important. And there are some things in life that's not very important at all. You know, washing your car, young boys, is pretty important. But it's not extremely important. It's okay to drive a dirty vehicle. But preparing to meet God is more important than anything we will ever have to face in life. It's one of them things that we can't put off. Are we prepared to meet God? Preparation takes time. Preparation just don't happen. I had to prepare to come here this week. And it didn't just happen on its own. You know, as much as I wish someone would prepare to preach, I had to put some thought into what I was going to bring each night. Preparation takes time. "Only put off for tomorrow what you are willing to die having undone, because we do not know." Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We're going to have so much time. And every day is important, redeeming the time. It's just we make every day count because we're doing it for God. And we are every day preparing for eternity. Prepare to meet God. I was talking to the older gentleman here today. I think, Brother Nelson, you called him Grandpa Bang. Am I correct? His name was Clarence. And he told me, he said, "I just lost my wife." I don't know this man, but I understand you all do. I said, "Well, was it unexpected? And he said, "Yes." And he told me, he just come in, and he found his wife sitting there in the chair, and she was gone. Was there any idea that she was going to pass into eternity? Did she get up that morning saying, "I have a premonition, it ain't saying that right, but a thought that today's my last day"? I don't think she did. I don't know the story. But most people do not have a pre-warning that today's your last. I'm going to guess she got up and she went about her day's activities. And she sat down in her chair and God said, "Come on home. Come on home." Prepared to meet God. You know, The day of opportunity to talk to that older lady is past. As a family member, to say I love you, it's past. The opportunity to say I'm sorry. I said the wrong words. I treated you wrongly is past. We only have today to prepare for eternity, prepare to meet God. What kind of choices are we making today? Awake thou that sleepest, those verses in Ephesians. It's you know, so many times I fail to prepare because I'm pushing it off and I'm pushing it off and I'm a procrastinator. I don't like to think about things that I don't like to do, things that I love to do. It's enjoyable, whatever your hobbies are. We find time to do the things that we love to do. But the things that we don't really think that are important, we push them off and we push them off and we push them off. How much importance are you placing on meeting God? Prepared to meet God. None of us know, do we? None of us know when our last time on this earth will be here. God doesn't give us a premonition. That was the word that I wanted. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question. Where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth till the time has come to die, God has given us the choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question, where will you be? Are we going to answer that question tonight? And you know, it can be a wonderful thing because we can plan to face God. We can plan for eternity. We don't have to enter in unprepared. This does not need to be a scary subject this evening. We can plan to meet God, and we can plan to meet God as a friend and as a father. And when he says, welcome home, the thought of dying is scary. I don't think any of us want to think about dying. But we can plan for it. There's a story that is told of a God-fearing young girl that was riding on the back of a pickup truck in Central America, probably Guatemala or one of those countries. And over there, you ride on the back of a truck, and you're flying down these dirt roads, and they're steep banks fall, dropping off to the side. And she was hanging on, and she was fearful. And occasionally, she would let out a shriek when she seen how close to the edge of the road she was. There was an older gentleman sitting on the back, and he was finding amusement in this, and he looked over at her and he said, well, what's the problem, young lady? Are you scared to die? And she was a godly lady, and she says, sure, I'm ready to die, but it's the getting dead that scares me. And you know, it's just that, the fearful thought of what if we crash, the getting dead. I get that. It's kind of how I feel. None of us want to think about dying, but we can prepare. We can make the choices so when the getting dead is over and we are meeting God face to face, that we are prepared for that time. Is this question important tonight? Prepared to meet God. Are you prepared to meet God? It's a very important question. It's one that's going to affect our eternity. And so tonight, I simply want to look at six things that you will do. Six things that you will do, whether you want to or not. Six things that you will do. Point number one is we will all die. We will all die. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, of course, we will all die unless the Lord comes back and raptures us home. And that's a very real possibility. But until that happens, We are born, and the day we're born, or day that we die, is marked in God's calendar somewhere. And God knows when that is. A time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes says, because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment. Therefore, the measure of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which it shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There's no one can control the day of your death. Only God. It's marked in his calendar and it will happen. Death is universal. Don't matter where you live. Death is universal. Every man, every woman will die. We don't like to think about it. As young people, we're full of energy. We've got life ahead of us. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I want to get married. I want to do all the fun things of life. I was there too. And I remember telling, I don't know if it was my pastor or who it was, I said, you know, it's a shame, but I'll probably never get married because the Lord's going to come back. I believe that. Well, he allowed me to get married, and he allowed me to have a family, and he allowed me to be a pastor. And young people, you don't know what God has in store for you. But as you say yes to God, and as you follow his leading, and as you allow the Lord to lead you, God can do marvelous things with you. But we make our choices in light of eternity. In light of the day we die, we prepare for that day. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we look forward to that time when we can leave this old sin-cursed earth and be forever with our Lord. It's not something that we need to fear, but we can embrace it. We can prepare for it. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, a verse, we don't need to fear it. But we can live in victory, and we can face eternity without death, without fear. I had a friend that I went to school with. He was in my grade of school. I believe he turned 17 years old. We were both 17. He had just got his car. I didn't have my car yet. His name was Thomas. Thomas was 17. He left his house, and he was headed into town. And he come to the nearest intersection of their home, and there met another man that ran the stop sign. And T-boned my friend right in the driver's door, and my friend Thomas was killed, 17 years old. Was he prepared to meet God? He was only 17. I don't know where Thomas is. Thomas never made his plans known. I hope Thomas had a relationship with God, but Thomas never stated that he did. But his life was over. I remember getting that phone call that Thomas was in an accident. Thomas is in an emergency room. Thomas was on a ventilator. And I prayed, Lord, give this man mercy. A few hours later, I got the phone call. Thomas was gone. He was my school friend. My friend that I did everything. A day later, you walk past, or whenever it was, we walked past the casket, and there was Thomas. Are you prepared? Are you ready? There was a day marked in God's calendar for Thomas's life to be born and Thomas's life to end. Was he prepared? The question is tonight, are you prepared? We have opportunity to prepare. Be prepared for the day when God calls us home. Number one was we will all die. Number two, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Whether you want to or not, When God calls us home, we will stand before him to answer for the deeds that we did in this world. Romans 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. These are terrible verses for people that are not prepared. I can't imagine what it would be like to stand before God knowing that I am not prepared. I can only imagine just a little bit, because I stood in front of an officer, and he was looking for an application that I sent in. It was a hunting application, and I was hunting in a government facility. And so it was a government officer, and he pulled down the book to look for my name, to see if he had the application so that I could be allowed to go into this place. It was a big book, and he scrolls through the book. And I thought, this is what it would be like to stand before God and look at that book and wonder, what if he don't find my name? But we don't have to. We don't have to wonder. You can prepare this evening. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't have to go in front of God fearful. We don't have to wonder. We can know that our name is there. We can be prepared. We can be prepared to stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse talking about that we so often we just judge our brother and our sister for little faults. But you know, someday God is going to judge us if we're not prepared. It's my belief that we don't have to go stand before God as a judge, but we will stand before God as a friend if we're prepared. That judge knows everything. That judge, when we stand before him, God is our judge. He knows everything. He's going to know your name. He's going to say, Vernon Shank. He's going to know my name. He's going to know my thoughts. He's going to know my heart. He's going to know my deepest secrets that I never told anyone. That judge knows everything about me. Does that scare me? Does that scare you? It can be a fearful thought. Or if we're prepared and our lives are open and our lives are cleansed and our heart is at peace, we can rest assured that God knows who I am. And we can stand before him and say, here I am, God. Here I am, Father. He's not a judge. He's our Father. It depends if you're prepared or not. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Don't wait for that day to prepare. Prepare tonight. Prepare before you have to meet God. Prepare today. Point number three is, you will bow the knee before an almighty God. Whether you want to or not, you will bow the knee before an almighty God. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before a judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We can either choose to bow today, we can bow in this life, or we will bow to an almighty God that's a judge in eternity. It's our choice. Do we want to bow today or only in eternity? There are so many intellectual people, and I'm thinking of a man named Stephen Hawking, that was a man that did not believe in God, And he thought his human reasoning, he could figure everything out. But you know what? He died too. He just died here in March 14 of 2018. And he went and stood before an almighty God. The very God that he defied. And said there was no God. And things just happened. Even that man will stand before an almighty God. His human reasoning stands no chance. Point number four is, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, you will. Every one of us will. We will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, either now or later. Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Philippians 2:11, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. You know what we say when we say Lord? It means he's our master. He's the authority of our life. And so when we call him Lord, that means I'm under him. I'm in submission. I give my life to him. I call him Lord. I do what he wants me to do. That's what's calling him Lord. He's a master of my life. He's my leader. We might say he's my boss. I do what he says. I will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It means that I obey him. I obey him. Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever come to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a wise man which built a house. And it goes on, he talks about, he built a house, the wise man. They were two houses. And I had two houses I was going to bring along for an object lesson. Two houses. I think they looked very similar. The wise man and the foolish man. The one built his house on the obedience to God's word and his principles. The foolish man built his house on foolish man's thoughts and philosophy. You know, who said you have to put a foundation on a house? That's stupid. That's old school. There's new ways to build a house. It's so much cheaper. It's so much faster. And he built another beautiful house. Looking at them two houses, they both looked identical. It's a picture of mankind. There's a lot of people out here saying, Lord, Lord, I love you, Lord. I do the things. But he that doeth the will of my Father. You know, there's only one that's going to stand the test of times. And that's the one that's built on the rock, Jesus Christ. In my two houses that I forgot to bring along, the one would stand on the rock. I had a blower and it would not blow over. The other one, when hit with a gust of wind, would flop right over and the roof went flying off and the windows weren't in it. But from the outside, they looked beautiful. See, it was not built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be built on the rock, Jesus Christ, or our life will not last. We cannot build our life on human reasoning. We have to build on what the scriptures. Point number five is you will personally give an account of yourself to God. I can't do it for you. Every one of us personally will give an account to God face to face. And we will answer for the way we live life. As much as my Father's heart wants to do things for my children, I cannot do this for my children. Every one of us will give an account personally to God. God's going to look at me and say, Vernon Schenck, answer for yourself. How did you live your life? And I can't say, well, I didn't have enough of time in my day. Oh, I wanted to do better. I really had good intentions. I mean, I wanted to spend more time in prayer, and I thought I was going to, and that's not going to happen, because this judge knows my heart. He already knows the answer. He knows exactly who I am. I can't blame it on my friends. I can't blame it on my church family. I can't blame it on my peers. I personally will have to give account of my actions to God. Excuses will be gone. Number six is you will spend eternity somewhere. We will spend eternity. Either we spend it in eternal bliss, forever with the Lord, or we'll spend it in eternal damnation. Why would we not choose to spend it in eternal bliss with our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father has prepared a home for His saints. For those that are prepared, He has a home prepared for us. Mansions. Beauty that's out of this world. No pain, no suffering. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Let's just read the scriptures, what it says. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All of us will spend eternity somewhere. Where will you spend eternity? Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How sad. Why should we go throughout life fooling ourselves into thinking we are prepared to meet God? Why? Why not just be real with God? Why not just settle our hearts so that our hearts are at rest and at peace, knowing that when God calls us home, that we're ready to meet Him? It's our choice. We can either prepare now, or we can prepare in front of God, and God will decide our destiny. I would much rather prepare today. I would much rather want to call my Lord, Lord of my life. Allow God to be my Father. Give my life to Him. Serve Him in this life. And spend the next million years in eternity that's wonderful with my Heavenly Father, the one that cares about me in this life. Or there are people of this world that are making choices against God and saying, I want to live my own life. Lord, I don't want to act, I don't want to be a Christian. And you know, God will allow us to make those kind of choices. But there comes a day when He calls us home, and there's going to be words, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, I just beg with you this evening, prepare to meet God. We have the rest of this life, and we don't know when God's calling us home. But we have this moment to prepare. Are you prepared to meet God? I again just want to give another invitation to anyone here this evening, the heart is just not at rest. Are you at rest this evening? I just want to be able to go home knowing that you are at rest, and that when God calls you home, whether it's through old age or whether it's accident, through sickness, however God calls us home, that when we stand before Him, that we are ready to meet Him, and our lives are open, and God can say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on home." I trust there's no one here that God would say, "Depart from me." But only you know your heart. God knows your heart. And I want to give another invitation that you can stand to your feet and say, "Lord, I want to call you Lord of my life. Lord, I want to be prepared to meet you someday." What shall we sing?